make
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
This game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 33. I'm Nick Persnowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
This isn't Tim, this is Charles.
Steve Morgan.
I have nothing to say this week, so I'm just going to say what's up.
And Charles Caldwell.
Me. Boop, boop, boop.
It's a fucking robot.
I think Charles is a robot. Charles has taken in so much like sugar in the past 10 minutes. Charles ate just like a 2-pound thing of solid chocolate.
He ate Easter, all of it.
It's just a hatch to a giant man furnace.
I accumulated it in a stockpile, and then like the ancient Egyptians, I ate my stockpile.
I didn't really eat like any candy for Easter this year. It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
same.
No jelly beans. No like
jelly beans.
My mom actually. They like my building. They like hid like candy all over the place. So I was sprinting around my building trying to find this little kid. And I found a whole bunch, but then I realized I didn't really want a bunch of candy, so I just, like, took them. I didn't really take it.
So just put our QR code in Easter eggs and just throw it around?
Would have been smart. Would have probably been more discreet than throwing our stickers in people's faces.
Or all over the town of Boston.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. It can be a scavenger hunt for people to go find it.
Yeah, good news is I still have 1,000 stickers in my room, plus, so...
I sent out a couple stickers to... well, I sent my poem meal to that Chaffee, because he wanted it, and I was like...
Yeah, I still have some, too.
And then I sent him some
stickers,
too.
The best part is... The best part about this is, I don't know if we ever saw this, but there's a little coupon on it. Did you notice this?
No.
So if you cut out the like the you know the UPC receipt or whatever here, it says cut this out and bring this barcode to any participating Blockbuster Home Videos store for a chance to win a 30-day trial of EverQuest Veil of Alaris.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's fake.
Yeah, yeah, none of those things exist anymore. I'm pretty sure.
I'm like I didn't look up EverQuest Alaris. Maybe it's like a new expansion.
Well, Blockbuster stores don't exist, so
that's what I was. I mean,
yeah,
I know there's someone who's tried it.
Yeah, someone.
Veil of Alaris is actually a new, or it was actually an expansion that came out in 2011. So,
oh, weird.
That's ridiculous.
Well, really?
I mean, yeah, well, I think it's the 18th expansion for the game. I think the Blockbuster video is probably the big...
The giveaway.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, we put this on here, we can't be held liable since there's no company that can actually sue us, so...
Either that or this is some very old porn mail they're trying to get rid of.
But it's entirely possible.
The one store, Blockbuster store in, like, California somewhere.
No. It's ridiculous.
All the video stores, every video store around me is completely closed down. None.
It was at my last apartment in Chicago, there's this really sketchy place called Tom Video. It's like, there were no videos on the shelves. You had to take out this little card and like bring it up to the lady, and she'd be like, oh, you want this movie? And she'd go and get it. It's just really weird.
It was just, it was actually just mostly porn videos and everything is just sticky.
Yeah,
that section kept getting bigger and bigger at Video Choice. You ever noticed that? How it kept like encroaching on all the other territory of the videos.
It was the thing they probably made the most money on.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, let's let's get into some news this week, and I think Tim's going to start us off.
Yeah, so this, it's actually a little kind of old now. It's a couple weeks ago, but apparently Ubisoft held like a demo, a Watch Dogs demo for journalists in Paris, I think. And part of that, they gave away Nexus 7 tablets to all the journalists who came, so it was kind of create a little bit of a stir because people felt like they were, you know, trying to bribe them for good reviews by giving them tablets. But I mean, in all honesty, Nexus 7s are like, you can get them for like less than $200, so it's not like they're good on cars.
Right. here's like $2,000, I mean, like, write a good review. Nope.
Yeah.
Here's a cheap tablet.
I feel like there's other things too that you could. Well, I don't know, maybe it's smart, but I mean, you can wine and dine people much easily and much easier, and it's also, like, less obvious than giving presents.
Here, have a phone. It said we could buy you all dinner with filet mignon and, like, ridiculous desserts, and now it's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all just advertising for Watch Dogs, and they're just like, yeah, we've been watching you from your Nexus 7 tablet this whole time.
It's a Nexus 7. You know what that means? You can hack into the NSA.
it's probably like Samsung. It's Samsung's the maker, right? Nexus 7.
I don't know.
But anyways,
I think it's Asus.
Okay. Oh yeah, I think you're right. So anyways, they probably just like gave it to Ubisoft. It's probably like another PR deal, right? Like,
yeah. We contacted them so we could give these to you for no cost to us.
He's so funny.
A rumor this week, Assassin's Creed Unity, which is the newest Assassin's Creed game that's going to come out apparently this fall or something, might have 4-player co-op, which potentially could be shown at E3. I don't know. I was thinking about that too, and I mean, the Assassin's Creed games have multiplayer right now, which it's you play with like 4 players and it's kind of lame and it sucks ass. So,
is it like versus or is it
sort of?
You can only play with 4 players even when you're playing.
Well, it depends on what mode you're in, but there's one like sort of 4-player co-op sort of thing where you're all going to the same objective and trying to do stuff, but I don't know. It would be cool if it was actually like story based 4-player co-op, and you actually had to do like, you know, distract certain things, and that would be really neat if you could get it to do that.
I could see them doing that in like a way that. You know, it's gonna be able, you have to be able to do it in single player, but at the same time, like if you, if you want to play with someone else, you kind of have to like really work together. That seems like
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What if that's their part of their response to like Left 4 Dead and some of those other games? Like you have a game where you have 4-player co-op playing through the whole entirety. Rather than just 2-player co-op or anything like that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I immediately thought of like 4 players sitting next to each other, but that'd be awful on any screen.
I don't know. I'm skeptical because the Assassin's Creed stuff I've never liked the multiplayer, so. It would have to really be changed up and actually, like, yeah.
Give some thought to it. Rather than just being like, oh yeah, this is 4-player, right?
I also feel like Assassin's Creed lately has, like, been just, like a money grab. Like, I feel like they've been very much so like Call of Duty, where they know they, like, have a franchise that's, like, unique, and they've just been, like, throwing the same title at you, like, every 16 months, essentially.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think the most recent one was probably their biggest like the biggest change that they've had since they started, only because like the whole, you know, ship battle, like high seas sort of pirate thing.
And really more about guns. What'd you say? And really also more about guns. Because guns were they were part of the game in the Assassin's Creed Liberty one, but even that was marginally less.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. A lot of stuff coming up with E3. I think it's in June, so I am excited for that. Who wants to talk about Dragon Age?
Oh, yeah. I put this on here. I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of... I mean, I guess I played them all, but... They kind of got burnt on them, but apparently...
I like Dragon Age 2 a lot more than I like Dragon Age 1.
But anyway, the Inquisition is the newest one. They announced it. It's going to be released on October 7th. Yeah, I like the first one more. I feel like the second one was kind of like more action-y. And I feel like the action aspect was better, but I feel like the story was better in the first one.
I'd agree with that, but I felt like just the way that they presented it in the first one was supposed to be open world, but it really wasn't
that's true.
There's only so many places you could go. I mean,
yeah, that's true. They definitely made it seem like more of an open-ended game. It was really lit.
Yeah, I've never played any Dragon Age games.
I only played the first one, and I just did so many side quests and so many things, and then I just got to a point where I was like, I have no fucking idea what's happening. I pretty much just quit. I think just personally, I don't really like that style. Like that, it's the same thing as Mass Effect, right? Because it's that same like stop go. So it's like action, but then it's like not action. I think sometimes it just like interrupt the like flow of the game, because it was a lot of times where like you could probably defeat enemies that are much better, like bigger than you, and like air situations that are really difficult by simply just like stopping and really like calculating all your moves, and. Which was, like, nice because it, like, benefited you if you, like to think about things. But after a while, like, instead of just, like, grinding or doing something to make you better, you would just be, like, every battle would have to stop, tell, like, five actions, do them, stop, do, like, five actions, do them. Then I was, like, it was basically, like, playing Final Fantasy. I mean, I didn't even, like, get to do anything. Because if I let things go, my guys would just get smoked. And so it was just, like, just became really repetitive and boring. I don't know. But I haven't played Dragon Age 2. Maybe I'll try it out.
Yeah, I think the second one's a little bit better, at least with, like, the AI, because, you know, you didn't have to stop and go through every you know, like, every fight. And I think the action sequence was a lot better in the second one, because you could, like, it was more twitch-based, the combat, where you know, like, you had to react and stuff. But at the same time, you could, like, pause, and if you wanted to, like, tell you guys to do things, you could. If you wanted, if you're, like, a crazy micromanager, you could do that. But if you want to just go and swing a sword, not give a shit, you could do that too.
Okay.
Yeah. You basically chose whether you wanted to be a mage, a rogue, or a warrior between the three. Similar to what in Dragon Age itself, but the first one. It was very interesting. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the storyline wasn't as well fleshed out, though definitely they have a good storyline to those games anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's something to keep an eye out for. We're gonna get more videos.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Sweet. Maybe I'll play it. Is it only coming out on PC or is it coming out on consoles too?
I would assume it's coming out.
Dragon Age is all.
Yeah.
Is it everything? Okay. Maybe I'll try that. We'll see.
I feel like a lot of games are trying to emulate some of the themes of Dragon Age recently.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I think that genre kind of goes pretty far back, but I think Dragon Age is kind of like the first big mage. Not, I guess that's a horrible way to say it, but it kind of captured a market that, you know, those slow-paced fantasy games never really had before.
Cool.
Excellent. The last thing, this is a, there's a trophy war going on another podcast that I listen to. It's the Married to the Games podcast, and so they started up a trophy war, and you know, a couple of the guys that listen to both podcasts invited me over, knowing that I, you know, go trophy hunting all the time, and so there's like legit prizes. There's like, I think there's over, I don't know. I actually don't know how much, but like people are putting money in, like PSN cash into a pot, and some of the guys from the show are going to be giving out prizes to like first, second, and third place winners. So now I just have to go and win and be like, Late Night Gamers Podcast wins.
That's right.
Yeah, we/I donated money on behalf of Late Night Gamers Podcast. So the guy, Mike Fowler 93 on Twitter is actually the guy that started it all. That Chaffee's going to be a part of it. At Shifty 25 is going to be a part of it. Sign up at marriedtothegames.com on the forums. It's the entire month of May, however many days are in May. I bought three new games this week, and a bunch of other Vita games as well. And yeah, I don't know. It should be fun. It's gonna be crazy. It's getting cutthroat. Like, I'm gonna. People better bring it. Bring your A game, because.
I'm kind of jealous that
I got a lot of trophies going on right now.
Yeah, I know.
So is it just for that month?
Yeah,
it's just for the month. And then what they're doing is, like, the website, you know how they have those, like, trophy cards on, like, forums and stuff? I don't know if you see them or not. But it's like a signature that you can post down in there. And it shows, like, how many trophies you have. So basically everyone's going to post their trophy, the number of trophies that they have on April 30th, and then on the last day in May, then they're going to see who has. And it's the quality of the trophy doesn't matter, it's just the quantity of the trophies. So I'm just going
to go crazy.
I'm going to go crazy. I'm not going to sleep all month long.
Sweet. Can you get trophies you already have? Or do you have to, like, get new ones?
You only get the trophies once, so if you've already received them, then they're not going to pop again.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so I bought two Lego games on Vita, and PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, because I've heard the trophies on there are pretty
cool,
pretty easy. But I've been wanting to play a bunch of these games anyway, so it's kind of like, Everyone has their PlayStation 3 that they're using, so they're doing, like, backlogs of games on their PlayStation 3, which I sold my PlayStation 3, so I don't have that option, but, I only have my PlayStation 4 and my Vita, so I guess my Vita is gonna be my main system, because I can bring it to work and just play it there.
Grind it out.
Yep. Exactly. So, sign up at marriedtothegames.com in the forums, if you're a PlayStation gamer. Should be a good time. Get ready to get owned.
I'm jelly, man. I wish I had. Actually, I do have a PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
But I have like one game on it.
So. Well, get some trophies.
Yeah, it's like NHL 2013 or something.
Yeah. Cool. So that should be fun. So we've been, this last couple of weeks, we've been really talking about Oculus Rift and kind of just virtual reality in general. And so we thought we would take this week and talk about VR and other immersive technologies and kind of how they're affecting gaming and if it's actually, if VR is even going to, you know, really affect gaming in a sense that it's going to be mainstream or not. But, I mean, what do you guys think? Like,
no, to be honest, it just seemed like too much work for what games are for me. It's just I don't want to be walking around like some weirdo with a visor on my head and like trying to shoot things without actually pointing a gun. I mean, that's cool and all, but I'm not manning a mecha. I'm like a mech 100 miles from where I am. I'm playing a video game, so it doesn't. I don't need all that equipment.
Yeah, I think you know, if kind of like a like bigger trends, the gaming industry now is actually bigger than the movie industry. Games make, you know, generate more money than movies do, which is kind of insane to think about.
It is crazy.
You know, I think that if you kind of look at like where VR wants to go ultimately, it's like the goal is to be like the holodeck in Star Trek. You know, it's the goal is to make like a room that you just go in and there's like things that you can physically interact with that are virtual. So I think that, you know, we're kind of moving towards that, and it's going to take time. You know, we're not going to get there overnight. But each one of these devices that comes out is, you know, a step in the right direction. So, I mean, regardless of how you feel, I think it's inevitable that we're going to have, you know, more realistic VR.
Yeah, and I think also like the big thing for us. The big thing that's hard for us to like get over is the fact that like most of these VR systems are like not intuitive and they're not natural. So like they try, but like they're not. And I think once like we get to a point where like going in and playing a virtual game, so to speak, is just as fluid and real as it would be in real life. I mean, to a certain extent, obviously we might not ever get to like 100%, but like, I mean, if you can go into a game and actually run and actually, you know, do something, like, you know, the motions are actually there and they matter, not just like Wii where you can just whip your arm around and bowl like a strike, you know, like something that's like physically meaningful. I think that people will slowly start to accept it for the experience that it is, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, right now the only sense, like, if you think about senses that we can kind of, like, manipulate with VR, really only thing we can manipulate is like your sight, your vision. But I think if we get to the point where we can manipulate like your sense of touch and your sense of like even like things like weightlessness and stuff like that, if there's a virtual reality machine that like picks you up and you jump and you actually like go in the air and stuff like that, I think that would I'd take it to a whole nother level. You know, if you had the ability to like run, but you got the sense that you were like super fast, or you could fly, you know, things like that. I would just take a little off.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I see it kind of like, I don't know, games that are, I don't see it taking off in a lot of the games that we have out now. I feel like it would have to be an entirely separate sort of feeling.
Genre. Really.
Yeah, I mean, because like, If it's some sort of like exploration game, or you know, I think we've talked about this in the past, but like something sort of like Myst, where you're kind of just like walking around, like looking at stuff and maybe solving puzzles or something. I don't know, with the technology that we have now, I just don't see it becoming. I don't see it becoming like a shooter or, you know, anything. I just don't see it happening.
It obviously has that capability. It just seems so, like, it just doesn't seem like the right vehicle for those sort of games. Like, for maybe it's some weird hybrid of movies and video games. I mean, that's where video games are going anyway. But for some specific things, unless it's really ingrained in like the story with what you're going to be doing, it just doesn't make sense. It's like a, I don't want to say casual, but like when you're playing a video game, do you really want to be running around in your, you know, like a dome or something that's required for the for the thing you're doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that would take off at some point. You know, it'd be like paintball, but in a game. You know, people, I think people get into that.
But that's still separate from like you and your home playing video games. I mean, that's like a laser tag. You go to a specific center to do that, and that might be fun. But are you going to bring that center back? Will you bring like the joke palace that you would have at one of those things? Like that you fit over there? Would you put that in your guard all the time? It'd probably be cool to do, but would you really do it? Probably not.
Yeah, well, I think it's just you know, as technology advances, maybe one day we would have that.
That's true.
You know, I think one of the big things is that if you look at like the Kinect and the Wii, they've kind of been like a niche thing. I mean, not so much the Wii, but like I guess the PlayStation Move and Kinect. You know, there's a few like motion based games, and I think that's kind of a whole other aspect of VR. That probably won't catch on as quickly as more like visually immersive things like Oculus Rift and stuff like that. You know, because generally just people, when you play a game, you want to, it's like a chance for you to physically relax. And, you know, rather than work out.
Yeah.
One of the things we didn't talk about with VR is the inclusion of Google Glass and all of that, because that's definitely virtual reality.
When we were at PAX, we saw, I think we saw at least four people with Google Glass, at least four, if not more, and it was totally like these kids that were just walking, or these guys that were just walking around, like, I'm wearing Google Glass right now, like this. I don't know.
I'm just curious as to what it looks like on the when you're.
I still haven't seen what it looks like.
I mean, I've seen the video that Google put out, but it's like, is this really what it looks like? Or is it like a Facebook app in your top right corner and it like shakes when something happens? And then you're just muttering under your breath, like, send a message. It's like, what do you do? Like, I added this to my calendar, Google Glass, and somebody's like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, I'm just talking to Google Glass. What? Oh, you got one of those Google Glass things? Isn't that $1,200? I'm going to steal it off your head.
Yeah, I'm going to steal it, and then I'm going to throw a drink in your face. Because you're terrible.
I don't know if they patented it or what it was, but I just read an article about they have, like, they're making Google contacts.
Like, good lord.
The Google Glasses. That is crazy. Like, in your eye.
Well, there is some technology now that it's, like, contacts that help people, I forget what it is. Some medical issue that people have.
Yeah, I heard that there's contacts that they're making that I think it's for people that are diabetic. I can't remember. I think it measures your blood sugar in your eye.
I think,
and then it sends a signal via RFID or some, I don't know what it is, like, you know, it sends like a signal out and
like your,
to like a
like thing, your smartphone will, like, or something.
Actively monitor your blood sugar, which is crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Cool.
That's what I need.
Instead of
Google Glass, it allows you to see different spectrums of light, radio waves.
It pokes your eye like Isaac Newton did, and then you see like the rainbow, and then somehow you're able to like develop like the light spectrum from that.
I don't know. I mean, I see virtual reality going farther than any of the other immersive technology type stuff that we've seen in the past. Like, I mean, 3D gaming has kind of gone by the wayside. You know, there's. The 3D TVs came out, and like PlayStation 3 supported 3D Blu-rays, and
okay,
now
you
it's
now I understand. You mean like 3D? Okay, like 3D,
just like
3D,
just
3D
like
3D,
yeah, just like the, you know, you're just sitting there, and there's glasses. Like it has nothing. It doesn't actually change really anything about the game. It just kind of looks like it's gonna poke you in the face a little bit more.
It's like so like counterintuitive, because when you say like when someone says like 3D gaming, I think of like Mario 3D, Mario and N64. I'm like, yes, no, it's like, three-dimensional.
Right, well, three-dimensional in the sense that it feels like it's actually not in just the television. It
just pokes out at you.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the PlayStation 4 doesn't support it now. I don't know if they may change that in the future, but they're completely going away from it as
it's technically difficult to do because you need a high refresh rate. The majority of screens don't support it, so it's not really that easy to do. But the ones that I have seen, NVIDIA Surround, and I think AMD has one, but it seems pretty cool. Like, the idea of, I don't know, it's just kind of, it turns it from, a flat screen to something with depth, which is pretty cool. I think I saw someone play WoW, and there's a few of the games. But, man, it's still, a novelty.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. Until TVs can do it, do it without glasses.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to sit and watch TV with, or, you know, play a video game. I'm sorry, but I'm not a gunner glasses sort of guy. So, I don't want to wear, unless they're actually helping me see the screen, like Charles wears glasses, you know, Tim wears glasses or contacts or whatever. And it's just like, I don't know, unless it's gonna help me, actually see things that are happening, I don't need it. I don't want to wear them on my face.
Yeah. Well, the thing is also with 3D TV, I don't know, I think HD, you know that, the higher a def is gonna kill that anyways, so.
Yeah.
I think people are more concerned about, quality over, gimmicks, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right. 10K.
Yeah, everyone wants to see that.
I can see each granule of sand from space.
But getting back on, the Oculus thing, I still think that, that concept of, having something that's, having a screen that's, on kind of, something that you wear, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think that's a really great idea. I just think that, I don't know how many iterations it will take, and I haven't even used the Oculus Rift, so I don't even know how that feels, but, I think that's a novel idea. I think it, will go somewhere someday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Google Glass, right? It's like, you know, it's like that stuff. It's just, you can just wear a screen on your face, and then no matter where you are, you can have you can sit really close to a giant, a tiny screen, or you can sit really far away from a giant screen, or you can stick a screen right on your eyeballs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like...
Yeah, I think that is more about, completely filling your field of vision. And I think doing that is, that's, the ultimate immersion of it. You know, if, all
the user interface for your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've got aggro! And just shows up on your screen. Aggro, 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 aggro. Somebody's walking towards you. Oh, no!
Yeah, everything is just text-based. Aggro, aggro, aggro.
Google Glass is just shouting at you all the day long.
That'd be terrible.
So someone's coming up behind you. Watch out!
So I threw the question out there on Twitter yesterday or today, and I asked people, what are your thoughts on VR, and do you think it's just a gimmick? And we got a couple quite a few responses. At Cyberpunk Nut said it has its applications, but really hasn't gone anywhere in over 30 years. I don't know that I fully believe that statement, but...
Well, I mean, it's like... I feel like it's been around forever, you know?
It has never been.
It was just never, really commercialized. And I think Oculus Rift is probably the first one that's really made it real to me, you know? At least in the gaming sphere.
Apparently back in... back in the 80s, Famicom, which was, one of the Nintendo systems, had a 3D system, which looked almost like I looked up a picture of it, and it looked almost like a really ghetto-ass Oculus Rift. where it was just I don't even understand, I can't even in my head, what kind of virtual reality would be going on an 8-bit system? What would you be looking at on an 8-bit system? with virtual reality.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is it like an IMAX theater? Like, oh, Mario's going from the left side of my peripheral vision all the way to the right side of my peripheral vision.
Big virtual boy.
It's nonsense. at JoeBoston617 said, I don't think it's a gimmick. We have the technology now to almost perfect it. They just need to support it no matter what. And I think he hit it on the, I think he hit the nail on the head there, where it's just like these new technologies just need the support. Like, it needs the games.
Yeah, I think the problem, you know, I see what he's saying, but that's like saying electric cars are better, so now we just now need to get electric cars. Well, I mean, it's not going to happen overnight because everyone has a regular car.
Yeah, it all depends on the marketability and what they're working with. Yeah. I mean, all of the consoles embraced Twitch and videos and all that stuff, but that was a value added to their product. As far as the Oculus is, it's like redesigning how they approach games, and so it seems like it'll be much of a more uphill struggle for that.
Yeah. Well, and I think I know we gave Oculus some flack for getting bought out by Facebook, but I think that's probably better for it, you know, in terms of having that kind of money behind it, you know.
Yep.
You know that they'll kind of push it out to market after, which is good.
Yeah, you usually don't spend $2 billion on something if you don't.
Yeah.
The real Mike Bean, which everybody knows, I think, who Mike Bean is.
R&B.
he says, a VR system seems like it would be really cool, but I can't see it becoming prominent enough to overtake traditional setups.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
I mean, I think he's on the same page as us in terms of just the fact that it would, like, the VR stuff would just be a genre unto itself. And
I think maybe,
I think it's a time scale too. Like, I think maybe over time, but not any time in the distant future.
I think maybe if you know, the Oculus Rift came bundled with your console like the Kinect does, maybe then it would, but not until that point.
Yeah, that's true. And also, like, yeah, I mean, I think for the time being, like, the VR system really is that niche, right? It's like it's a style of game that you want to be immersed in. Like, when I play certain games, I don't want to be immersed. Like, I don't want to be immersed in Dota 2. Like, I could really care less if, like, I could hear the birds chirping and the trickling of the water and the fountain. Like, who gives a shit? Like, you know? So, like, that kind of game I don't, but if I'm playing something like, you know, if I'm playing Skyrim, you know, that would be a really cool game to be, like, in and just, like, walk around and explore things. And so I think I think Oculus realizes this, right? Like, I don't think they're trying to, or those types of things, I don't think they're trying to say, hey, you can use the Oculus to play anything. You know, they're not, like, showing it off with StarCraft, but, like, at the same time, like, I mean, I don't think it's impossible for that to ever, for those two things to bridge together. I think when the convenience of, like, having something like the Oculus overcomes, like, a monitor, or vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, if it gets to the point where, you know, everyone just has glasses that have screens on the inside,
yeah,
you know, it's your phone is your console, and you just
plug it in,
right? Yep. You know, that would be awesome. But
yeah, we get to the point where PlayStation has that constant streaming service, and then you just plug your Oculus in, and you're just playing off your Oculus everywhere you go.
That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. And our final comment came from at Barely Concealed, and he says, gimmick. So far I haven't seen a version that really changed anything.
Yeah, I mean, he also has a point. I mean, a lot of the stuff is cool, and it's like every time something like this comes out, it seems like it's a big step, but at the end of the day, it traditionally ends up being kind of a dud.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, cost of entry is kind of an issue too. Like the Oculus Rift, I mean, I don't even know how much it is, but
Isn't it like a grand?
No. I think it's cheaper than that. It's like $200 or $300.
I think it's $200 or $300 for old model. I think it's like $500 for the newest model. Which is like higher def and stuff. But yeah, you're right. And it also takes a huge leap of faith. Like, look at the Wii. I mean, that whole genre of, even though it's not VR and it's not, but you know, just that thought of using motion sensors in a game. Although it was kind of like touched on in other systems, like, you know, for it to be as popular with Kinect and PlayStation Move and everything. I mean, we've talked about this before, but the Wii really had to take a huge leap of faith. And I mean, Nintendo has no problems taking leaps of faith, so, and they can somehow sustain it. So, yeah, the entry is huge. That's the problem with all these things.
Yep.
But at the same time, that's like the difference between a gimmick and something that's like cool, right? Like, a gimmick is something that someone just takes a leap of faith on and it sucks.
Yeah. It's just to draw you in and be like, hey, that's kind of cool. And then you realize that it's got no future and you're like, God damn, why did I spend the money on this?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of what separates the Oculus Rift from all the other VR systems that came out in the past 20 years. You know, I feel like they've drummed up enough like interest and support that people really want it to happen. And I think that, you know, if there's any VR system that's going to have a chance of succeeding, it's probably Oculus.
Yeah.
So I think that brings our VR talk to a conclusion. But, we did have one listener question that was unrelated to the topic this week, and I thought it was actually kind of a good question. At SuperLobster06 says, after Arkham Knight, what superhero franchise would you want Rocksteady to do next? I thought about that one for a while.
Super Lobster.
The Arkham games were great, you know. I think Rocksteady did a great job with them, with the, like, really creating in, like, a pretty immersive environment, and, like, fighting mechanics were great in that game. And, that's part of the reason why I would want to see the Blade series, because, Blade is a sweet, sweet series, and Wesley Snipes with fangs is awesome. but seriously, like, I don't know. Looking at those movies, I think about just like the fighting mechanics in those, and I feel like they're very similar. So I think Rocksteady would do a really good job with like having just like dual swords and I don't know. I think it could be cool, and I like having to fight, you know, the Lycans? Were Lycans, or is that Underworld? That's Underworld. Ooh.
That's Underworld, but the hybrid vampires of whatever there were in the second
movie. Okay, yeah, that, and he can be out in daylight, and like, that could be a really cool mechanic of the game, you know, where you can be out in daylight, but certain other enemies can't be, and no matter what, you have enemies in the dark or at night and during the day.
Yeah, that seems like a really nice fit for what they did with Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
I think it would Okay, go ahead.
You know, Andrew, you go.
No, I mean, I was just going to say, I think it would be really cool if they did a game that was like a villain.
Yeah.
Like, if there was like a villain, I don't know. I mean, I think of a couple, but like, I think that would be like a really big twist, like on the style of game. I mean, the style of game could be the same as like Arkham Knight, but like that, just like, I don't know, because like there's so many games where you play the superhero. You always play the superhero, and it's like, and like, I feel like, I don't know, like certain movies and certain things now, like the bad guys, like the Joker, right? Like everyone, like that, like made, you know,
yeah,
the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And
it's part of the reason why I like the, what the heck's the name, the prototype so much, is that you're such a ridiculously evil character.
That's true.
And the one that I threw up on the board, though it doesn't necessarily fit with kind of the atmosphere and theme of Arkham Knight and kind of the game design, is the Juggernaut, or maybe the Hulk.
I'm the Juggernaut, yeah. And that's just, yeah, that's a good one, dude.
Yeah.
And just busting through stuff and just crushing. But I mean, you can really say, if you're looking at villains and like not just like Batman universe, there's so many that they could just peel out and be like, yeah, we're going to do this.
Yeah. I think it'd be...
I think the one that I can think of readily was Deadpool. They actually did some games for Deadpool.
They just came out with some.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool if they took like a, you know, like the entire Marvel universe and just let you play whoever you wanted, you know, because it's such a deep universe there.
Yeah.
Or like, well, DC, everything in DC.
There's so much, I mean, there's so much like storyline and lore behind all of it that like you could, I don't know, I just feel like you could like unlock characters and really find out backstory, and it'd be a really cool way to like reinvigorate the whole franchise. Yeah, because I don't feel like they've had a lot of really good X-Men games.
Yeah, like, that's this Genesis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Genesis, like the beginning of time.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's true, though.
So, jumping to a completely off-topic top five this week. Not completely off-topic, but in light of Easter passing and
in light of Charles eating a whole rabbit
that's
made of chocolate.
It's not a whole. It's still got some of his body left. Okay.
Charles only eats the heads of rabbits.
It's poor family's grieving right now. You covered it in chocolate and ate it.
No. My whole shirt's covered in chocolate. I'm going to go in the other room and just gorge myself on chocolate.
Charles killed the Easter bunny.
In case any of the listeners don't know, gorge is actually like synonymous with Charles. If you look up gorge in the dictionary, his picture's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a picture of him, like, just devouring something.
Eating the rind.
Eating the rind.
Or eating whole crayfish.
Even yes. Gorge the noun. Gorge the noun, that's how large Charles is.
So, our top five this week is the top five worst candies for gamers. Which, it's actually, these are the worst candies for anyone.
Should be the worst candies for anyone.
Honestly. So, number one on...
These will not make you more focused.
Number one on the list right now is Marshmallow Peeps. Which, that was part of the reason why I brought it up. Because I have Marshmallow Peeps right here, and I'm gonna
Peeps. I love Peeps.
Yeah, those are so good. They're so good.
They're delicious.
Yeah, I'll eat like a whole pack and just like hate myself.
Yeah.
I won't say they're disgusting, because honestly, if it's there, I'll eat it, but I don't prefer it.
It's just like sugar with sugar on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's except a debatable one on this list.
Except for the
goopy sugar.
Except goodies. For the eyeballs. I have no idea what the eyeballs are made out of. Because it's not quite chocolate, but it's brown.
It's like...
hardened tears is what they're made of.
Oh my god, it's good.
The descriptor for Peeps is explosive cancer mushroom.
That's a subtitle.
Which also is the description for circus penis.
Circus penis are, like, scientifically proven to be cancer. it's just a tumor.
It's a tumor that you're reintroducing into your body.
It's so good, though.
It's like what they squeezed out of someone's
skin. Best part about circus penis... Yeah, the best part about circus penis is penis. The best part about circus penis is that no one can possibly just like no one.
Nobody can say circus.
This one time at the circus.
That would be the worst circus act ever.
Oh, God. Anyways, the worst part about Circus Peanuts is that no one can, like, tell you what the flavor is. Yeah. Like, ask someone what it is. Are you sure it's bananas?
No. So I looked up on Wikipedia.
That's what... Maybe.
I don't believe it. It's not bananas.
But it doesn't taste like bananas
like, at all. It's just, like, hardened marshmallow... I don't even know what. Like, grit.
Yeah, it's like marshmallow they fucking left out on the... And they left it in a banana factory sitting on the table for a while, and it just got stale.
Like
so it has, like, this hint.
Through osmosis, it kind of just picks up a flavor.
Yeah, it has, like, this hint of something, like, that's been, like, injected into the pores or something. Like,
anyway.
So that's number one out of five.
Number two... Who wants to take this one?
Who wants it?
Reese's PC.
Delicious, mm-hmm. But deadly.
Peanut butter M&M's are even worse, though.
Yeah, I know. So, really, the worst thing about these is just the gas factor.
Mm.
And peanut butter M&M's take it to a whole nother level over at Reese's PC's.
Seriously, diarrhea farts, just, like, awful. I mean, like... They really just should call them, like, Reese's Feces, because it's, like, that's all it causes.
I can remember just eating, like, an entire bag, like, oh, yeah, this is a good idea, and then just being like, oh, dear God.
What have I wrought?
This building needs to be evacuated.
The worst is was it Eric, we'd have a party, and he would eat so many of these, and then just be... farting all night.
Dude, we'd all eat them, and then we'd all be farting, and then it'd be this, like, awful, like, diarrhea fart cocktail in the entire place.
Kind of sounds like my room on PAX.
Include soda in that, and then you're just terribleness. Yeah. Everyone feels like hell.
Yeah.
Your digestive system is torn apart.
You just open a gaping wound in your belly that's just, like, erupting fumes.
Reese's Pieces, known to cause ulcers.
Known to cause volcanic eruptions.
Known to cause chronic ulcerative colitis.
That is true.
You will need to breathe for a tube after this.
Alright, number three.
Alright, I said these. Number three is dipsticks. These are those stupid ass, like, they're basically pixie sticks that you pour it into a bag, and then you have this stupid little, like, chalk stick, which I don't even think was edible at the end.
You
just dipped it in, licked it.
I like these. I don't know
why. It was edible.
You liked them?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of, like, weird. It was, like, a lot of fucking work, because you had to lick
That's what I mean. This is why I hate it.
I don't know. I don't even know why the, why did anyone want to use the stick in the first place? The stick wasn't even the good part.
No, the stick was good. It wasn't like...
Just sucked down the big
stick. Was like sweet, but it wasn't like as like... It wasn't like fruity. But I would just like... I would dip the stick a couple times and be like, oh, fuck this. And then I would just start eating the stick and then just like pour the powder down my throat. Like
that reminds me. Like they don't nearly do as much... powdered candy as they used to. Because, like, you remember Pixie Sticks?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And, like,
It was literally just a piece of paper that they put into a tube, and they just poured sugar into it. Like, you could just use a Pixie Stick to put in your coffee, and it would probably be completely acceptable.
I think it was sweeter than regular sugar. It was, like, infused with artificial flavors as well. It was like, sugar Splenda. Coloring.
While we're on this, like, textures of candies, what about, like, all those, like, goo candies? Yeah. Do you remember, there was literally some sort of candy that was just liquid sugar, and it was in a tube, and you would unscrew the cap, and you would squeeze it out, either into your mouth or into your hand, and eat it, and it was like this gel. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah, I remember these. They were like squeeze pops. Hubba yes. Bubba squeeze pops. They were just literally a tube of just gelatin sugar that you just squeezed in your mouth.
Yeah, it was awful.
Gushers?
I remember being a kid and being like, this is disgusting. It was like a liquefied Jolly Rancher, basically.
Yeah. But I couldn't stop eating it.
Oh, God.
I think it...
I can never stop eating Gushers. The rest of my life, if I have a Gusher, I'll eat. I'll find a Gusher on, like, my foot. Not
Gushers. They still make Gushers?
Yeah, they do.
God, Gushers are so good.
That's the best line.
I would just clump them all into one ball and just, like, bite into it and just watch her rough.
Come around the corner Gushers. And there's just, like, red stuff dripping from Charles's face, and you're like, what the hell? And he's like, I just ate 20 Gushers at once. I just imagine Charles literally finding, like, a Gusher, like, between his toes, and he just eats it.
I've been saving this.
Watermelon flavored. It's warm.
I feel like whenever you have liquid candy, you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
That stuff absorbs fast. It's terrible. Anyway, number four. Shock Tarts.
We had a terrible experience with Shock Tarts.
Yeah. When Tim and I were younger, we went to this kid's birthday party and we ate, I mean, we were listening.
It was like a whole bag. It was like a pound bag of Shock Tarts.
Oh my God.
We ate them for like an hour. Like, I don't know. We just could not stop ourselves.
Nope.
Oh, Shock Tarts are the ones that were a little bit chewy.
Well, they were like really, really sour, and then sweet, like they would give you like really horribly like furry tongue problems. Like
they're kind of like the consistency of Mentos, mm-hmm. And then you would eat them, and then you like all your taste buds would like swell up to like the size of like little peas, and your whole mouth would be like, oh my God.
It was terrible. I'm pretty sure it was because we were listening to Bob Marley in the back seat.
Bob Marley and the Police.
That's right. We weren't old enough to drive because it was like seventh grade, but
yeah, and we went to see Evolution.
That's right, with David Duchovny.
Yeah, that's was just a giant Head and Shoulders commercial.
Okay. Shock Tarts, terrible.
So really that one had nothing to do with Shock Tarts, but
nope.
We had added to the list.
I like Shock Tarts, man. I'm just saying, well, throwing that out there.
I didn't know Shock Tarts.
Excessive quantities of Shock Tarts are the worst.
Yeah.
Number five.
It's true.
Nerds.
Number five may be the worst.
Or the best.
Number five is basically candy that encourages children to take on some sort of drug.
All candy. It's addictive.
Like hypodermic needle candies and things like that. Uh-huh. It's fucked up.
Pixie sticks are just a precursor to cocaine.
No, literally. I remember in, like, middle school, I was, like, at, like, the middle school dance, some kid snorted a pixie stick. I was like, what the fuck? So these real candies here are Big League Chew, which was the candy that was, like, bubblegum. And don't tell me you didn't try this when you were a kid. But this was bubblegum that came in this, like, pouch, which is basically emulated, like, shredded up. Chewing tobacco. It even had like a guy on it chewing it, like chewing tobacco, and
dude,
we all know that like the percentage like of like people that get mouth cancer from chewing tobacco is like insane.
My mouth is like literally watering right now just thinking about Big League Chew. Like I can remember as a kid, like I could never get it. My parents wouldn't let me get it. I don't know why. I was like, I just wanted it so bad. I don't know how anyone could like resist it. It was like this coveted thing as a kid. If someone had a Big League Chew, you're like,
You're like, oh, y'all give me a little piece.
And
of
then
that.
The other one was candy cigarettes, and they still have these sometimes, but they're usually like, just
they're just like they look like cigarettes. But remember when we were kids and they used to have the ones that had the powder in them?
Yeah,
that you could like blow on them, and they like even like made like a little puff of smoke.
Yeah,
no, I remember those.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
They were like,
yeah, I was so cool.
Those were like the hard ones that were like you could bite off, and then they're also like gum ones too.
Yeah, I remember those. Those actually had like little paper things because they had like little paper filters on the end.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Making me nostalgic for thinking about Buzzy's Candy Shop in Bristol.
Oh, man.
Just go in there, five cents for flavored Tootsie Rolls, and go in and get, like, 100 of them. Just eat them all. Vanilla, cherry.
I want candy now.
I just ate five Peeps, so...
kill for a Peep right now.
My hunger is no longer sated from the chocolate, so I'm gonna need something soon.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of our podcast. But before
we candy.
Before we go, why don't we just quickly go over what we've been playing? So, Tim, what have you been playing?
I've been home for about like 10 minutes since PAX, so I haven't been able to play much. I played a little Diablo 3, and I'm almost to Paragon level 200, so I'm trying to.
What is the? Is there a max in that game?
No, they lifted the max now. So it's endless.
No, there has to be a max, right?
No, there's. I don't.
Just like some guy was like 3,000 level.
I think there's someone. I know there's a couple 500s, and I think there are a couple of people like 800s.
Damn it! Wow. Okay.
But that's it's like you get every time you get a Paragon level, you get points, and you can like assign it to. The skills, and then those skills carry over to all your other characters. So, like, if you're leveling up another character, you can like have them have, you know, plus 25% run speed from level one, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty great.
Yeah,
I might have to get back into it.
Yeah, so I've been playing that. It's cool.
Steve,
cool.
What are you playing?
Well, to be honest, I've just been grinding a lot of Dota 2, but I actually did get to play the WildStar beta this weekend a little bit.
Cool.
I didn't get to play when it first came out. I mean, I did, but it was on my laptop. It was really shitty. I only played like about 20 minutes, so I got to play about like a couple hours this weekend. I didn't want to grind up too much because I know everything's going to get reset. So I just wanted to get a feel for the style and maybe some of the races, but it seems cool. It seems really nice. It seems pretty polished, and it's actually kind of easy at low levels, so
yeah.
We'll see. I'm excited for that to come out. Once that comes out, I'll probably start grinding that game pretty hard.
Yeah, I just got my invite for this weekend, so I'm excited to play it.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it on, like, I can't remember what it was. I think it was like GameFly or something. It was like $48 with the coupon.
Awesome.
And then once you have that, you can just input it and you can get into all the betas.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't really want to, since nothing's gonna like progress over. There's no point in really wasting that much time.
Yeah.
Unless you want to be like server first and you want to like know where everything is. Like, there's not really a reason to like grind the game out. That's it.
Charles, what are you playing?
I'm almost done with Castlevania, and then I'm going to be moving on to Tomb Raider. I'm excited for it, because I keep hearing good things, so I'm excited for that.
Excellent. I just platinumed Tomb Raider Definitive Edition on PlayStation 4, which was
nice.
A biatch, because it had a multiplayer trophy to get to level 60 in the multiplayer. Like, ugh. But anyway, that was so I played that, and then I started playing Dead Nation, which is like a top down zombie shooter. It's co-op. So I've been playing that with Shifty25 on PSN, and it's pretty fun. We're playing it on whatever the hardest difficulty you can play on to begin with is, and then it unlocks like another really hard difficulty. I don't know, it's crazy, but it's like pickups, and you can upgrade all your guns and upgrade your armor and buy new weapons, and it's cool. It's a cool game.
Sounds cool.
So, but that's it. That brings us to the end of the podcast, for shiz, and I just want to thank at CyberpunkNut, Joe Boston 617, Barely Concealed, The Real Mike Bean, and Super Lobster 06 for writing in this week. And I want to thank Tim, Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 33, one-third of 100, almost. Yeah.
33rd anniversary.
This is the end of the podcast. I'm going to bed.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Gamers. Steve. Sucks so bad, so unbalanced, blah, and I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off. Gamers.
The question is why we didn't go there more when we went to Video Choice.
I don't know. I don't know. We were 18 and still living in Bristol.
Too busy with the video game section.
And watching porn. We were too busy buying like Hustler and using the demo discs that came
out. Oh, yeah, sweet.
I feel like there'd be way too good chances of us like walking out of the porn section and having like... Like I
our
don't know.
Teacher,
yeah.
Well, our teacher worked there, so that wasn't helpful. Like when you walk out, and if you're gonna check out, and your eighth grade teacher's just standing there, your eighth grade English teacher.
Oh yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm 18 now. Guess what?
I'm That'd a be man. The best part. I'd be like, I'm buying porn. I'm gonna go watch this.
You're not even buying it. I'm renting it. I'm renting it.
I want to learn more about the subtext of this porn.
You're just like, I could buy this porn, but I would rather just spend a little bit and only use it for one day.
And feel gross about thinking about who else watched it.
What do you think's gonna be on this video? Who knows?
This got really awkward.
This is a terrible start.
It's kind of porn.
Well, that's why we never went to Video Choice in that section. I was just commenting how it expanded several times, and then finally that was pretty much just closed down.
Now, yeah, they're like
it's a laundromat
now or something.
No, they're a gas station.
I think you're. Oh, I think they're like.
No, it's a laundromat in there.
Anyways, regardless.
You can wash it.
I think we lost Nick for good.
What?
Dead.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Nick. Now we can't. It's okay. I can cut out all that awkward porn talk.
It doesn't matter. I think you just put it all at the end.